May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I had a friend who came and visited with me for a few hours. I hadn't seen him in 9 years. And he's an avid reader. He's written a number of books. And he's a bishop, an Anglican bishop. And he's always, loves to read. So when before he's leaving, he says, "What are you reading?" I'm thinking, here's the difference. It's like, I read like 5 or 6 things at the same time. And I get curious, and I don't want to miss anything. And so I'm trying to always read all these things. And so I'm same thing, therefore, that I'm like pursuing in the Lord. It's not always just one track. Something will catch my eye in prayer or in the Word, and I go, oh man, I want to go after that one. And I'm already going after something else. And the Lord knows my makeup is I can't finish going after this before I start going after that. And see, that's the Lord calling right there to say, Chuck's right about this. And so one of the things that's really gotten my attention is just jumping into this place and just, and I hate that we use the word study because that seems so academic, but just pursuing a greater understanding of personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not just knowing the Holy Spirit and knowing what the Holy Spirit does, but just personal interaction with the Holy Spirit and how that all works in our relationship with the Trinity. And I'm sure, and we talked about this Wednesday night, and this isn't what I'm going to teach on, but when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and he says this, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know, and we bear witness to that which we have seen." Who's the we? And I believe the we is Jesus in union with the Holy Spirit. But one of the fascinating terms to describe the Holy Spirit, in the New American Standard, in the Upper Room Discourse, it uses the word helper, but most of the time you'll see the word translated comforter, speaking about the Holy Spirit. And that one of his roles or one of his things he brings to us is this ministry of comforting. But the reality is that when you look up that word, it really doesn't say that. It's just the assumption that when he does what he does, what that word is, the word paraclete, that when he is the paraclete to us, that one of the consequences of that is that, of course, he'll bring comfort and aid. And that's true, right? But the word doesn't carry the meaning first and foremost as, well, his job is just to comfort you, make you feel better. That's not the word. The word paraclete comes from two words. It means to call or to cry out for nearness. The word near and the word to call. And so one of the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit in relationship to mankind is that he's in charge with the nearness department. And Psalm 73 says, "The nearness of God is our good." Now, obviously, when he makes nearness real, there's comfort. God, that's who he is. He's our Father, right? And our Father comforts us. But one of the fascinating scriptures in light of that, then, is in the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. If you remember when Jesus washed his disciples' feet and Peter kind of rebuked him because he thought that was humiliating for Jesus to do that. And then Jesus said, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me." He didn't say, "You didn't have a part in me." Peter had a permanent relationship with the Lord. The Lord even told him when Peter said, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man," when he called him the day they were fishing, Jesus said, "Fear not. I'm never going to depart from you." And so when he talks about that in John 13, he says, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me." He's not saying I'm going to abandon you. He's just saying you can't know my fellowship. You can't know nearness, conscious nearness, if you don't let me wash your feet. And so washing our feet, which is a great description of forgiveness, is an important part of our walking with the Lord. And he was saying to Peter, you're going to get dirty feet. And it's not dirty feet that's going to keep you from experiencing my fellowship. It's the unwillingness to admit you have dirty feet, or the insecurity that won't own it, and not allowing me to wash your feet. You see? That's important for you to understand that. And so in Matthew chapter 5, this Beatitudes, it says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, to be poor in spirit, this is the strongest word for poverty that's used in Scripture. It has the idea of being absolutely and utterly dependent, beggarly. You own nothing, and so you're absolutely desperate. And then the very next thing that he says is, blessed are those who mourn. And all the Beatitudes build on each other, for they shall be paracleted. They shall be comforted. You see, he assumes, here's one of the cool things about the Lord, he's not stunned by your or my imperfection. He doesn't wait for you to become more perfect to be able to enjoy you. He doesn't wait for you to be perfectly mature to be able to fellowship with you. Aren't you glad? And in that scripture, he therefore assumes that there are going to be times when we need to mourn our sin. He signed up for a relationship with people who have to confess sins, who are going to have to get their feet washed. So it's not a stunner to him that you blew it this morning. He's actually made provision for that. That's part of the victory that's ours in Christ. The problem is that if you won't come to him with it and own it, one, try to blame others or whatever, or an embarrassment or a fear, or the fear of rejection, you just can't be honest with God, it breaks our conscious experience of his fellowship. And that's why he says, if you'll just confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I love that scripture when he says, in light of that, in light of the fact that we are desperate and we are needy, it's obvious that the next thing he would say is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There are going to be times when we have to own our sin. And he says, when you do, I'm not going to pull back in shock at what you're owning. I'm not going to be stunned or surprised. I've told the story, but we do these inner healing ministries these weekends. And years ago, when we were first training people, I was saying, the thing don't do when somebody confesses some issue in their life, it's really dark, don't act like shocked. That won't bring comfort to them. But we had one person early on who actually was heading up a team, and they're ministering this person, and they confess something in their past, and the leader says, you got to be kidding me. That's not a good thing to do when you're ministering and counseling or inner healing. Jesus never does that. And I've known a lot of people in my ministry who can't get honest with God because they experience so much rejection in the natural growing up, even maybe a parent, a mother, a father, that they just assumed if they got really clean and honest with God, they're going to experience the same kind of rejection they experienced growing up. Because God's perfect and God's holy, and therefore he's disappointed in you. And this is the same God who just got through saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. He understands our desperation and our need. And what he promises is, if you'll own your stuff, bless those who mourn, I'm not going to run from you. I'm not going to stand back from you in disappointment and disgust and condemnation. He says, I'm going to come near. I don't know, that may sound like a real simple thing to you, but it just blesses me and ministers to me. I was telling Olivia about that, and I said, you know, I can't think of a time in my kids' life growing up when they owned their stuff, were honest with me about what they'd done, when I said, okay, well, I'm done with you. You know, I don't want to talk to you anymore, at least for days. I was so proud of them for owning their stuff. I drew near to them, especially if they were owning their stuff with sorrow in their heart that they had actually done it. Isn't that true as a parent? You want to draw near. And in that, you are comforting them. It's the near, it's, they're not, you don't want them to experience rejection. That's who our Heavenly Father is. Remember, Jesus came to reveal the true nature of God, that He's good. He's not a heavenly punisher. He's not a heavenly perfectionist. He's a Heavenly Father. And He's nothing like the Father that you had, no matter how good you think your father was. That's why 1 John 3 says, oh, what foreign kind of love is this that we encounter with the Lord? We have nothing to compare it to. We're having to have our minds renewed because we have no point, reference point to someone that good who loves us that unconditionally. But let me just encourage you. Blessed are those who mourn. When there's things that happen, don't be afraid to be honest with God. It's not going to cause Him to run from you. As a matter of fact, He says, blessed are those who mourn their sin. Because the very fact that you own your stuff, it's like a cry to Him to draw near. It's God's nearness that you'll know. And it's His nearness that brings healing and wholeness, isn't it? Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.